The reality for many of you is that investment properties where you live have become absolutely unaffordable. The good news is that there are many cities with affordable properties and many of those under 100K. If you're someone who's ready to buy your first out-of-state property in the next 4 months, then I encourage you to check out my free training that'll break down the process and show you exactly what it takes to invest out of state. I purchased properties out of state and it's changed my life. The same is possible for you. You simply need the right information. My free training will help you take that next step towards buying your first out-of-state property. You can watch the training right now at outofstatemoney.com, or you can click the link in the description of this episode. Again, you can find it at outofstatemoney.com, or you can click the link in the description of this episode.
Excuse me, may I talk to you for a second?
Yes. This is the Black Real Estate Dialogue, and the purpose of the Black Real Estate Dialogue is to document the journey of an up-and-coming real estate investor and to share the stories of successful Black real estate investors. Welcome back to the Black Real Estate Dialogue Investor Spotlight. And today's episode features Alexis Lee from episode 105. And so there's a lot of talk now about Airbnb. Does it still work? Is it still a viable option to leverage your real estate portfolio and rent that property out in order to make profits? And Alexis has an amazing story about how she got started and how some of the same things that she started with are still applicable now. So let's get back into it. Does Airbnb, is it still viable? Does it still work? Here we go. This is the Black Real Estate Dialogue Investor Spotlight.
Do you mind walking through, I guess, just the basics of why somebody might want to have Airbnb as part of their strategy and just some ways that they can go about it?
Yeah, I mean, I think Airbnb is a great opportunity to increase your cash flow on rentals, right? As opposed to a long-term rental. Is it more work? Yeah. I think there are pros and cons to short-term versus long-term rentals. I have a mixture of both, and all for good reasons, right? So, you know, COVID hit, Airbnb money went down. But it did, it was temporary. And since, you know, Atlanta never shut down, we went right back up very quickly. And actually had some of my best months during, you know, when all the other cities were shut down because everybody's coming to Atlanta because there was nowhere else to go, you know, so I had some really good months. But what I think about Airbnb is I think it's a great tool for anybody who wants to put in the work for it. Yeah, you make more money, but is it more work? Yes, it is, you know. And I think there are some key things people need to realize when you get ready to Airbnb. One, I would never purchase a property that would not still cash flow me if I had to put a long-term tenant in place. And why do I preface that? Because I think there are some factors around Airbnb that we don't have as much control over. And that is one being main one is regulations. At any given time, you know, we don't know which way cities, counties, or municipalities would go to either ban Airbnbs or put additional restrictions on them. And so I say, if at any given point in time, those restrictions do come down and you're unable to Airbnb your property legally, because I think legal is very important, to legally do it, you have to be able to put a long-term tenant in there or a nurse or rent the room out and still cash flow the property. So we should not be overpaying for properties because we think that we're going to get a higher profit margin from Airbnb. And that's just being a smart investor. You know, you want to make sure you have multiple exit strategies when you are purchasing your property, not just Airbnb. And so that, I think that's one key thing that people definitely have to remember when they're getting into it. Also, the second factor is, I tell people you are very naive if you do not realize supply and demand. So as more people get into Airbnb, of course, you're going to have more properties. And that's going to impact your bookings because you demand might not be increasing with the rate of supply. And so, you know, people like me, we teach about Airbnb. Other people teach you how to get into Airbnb and put the properties in. That just floods the market with more short-term rentals. And so I tell people, a lot of people aren't going to make it through that because they're going to say, well, dang, I can't get my property rented out. They don't necessarily have the tools to be able to do that. and they're in a market that's very saturated. So we have to really think about supply and demand as well. So
definitely. I like that you mentioned that it can't just be a property that works for Airbnb. And that's something that could easily be lost in the midst of everything we're seeing on the internet right now. Mm-hmm. People have to think more about like the behind the scenes and what goes into making the decision on buying a particular property that just so happens to be put out on Airbnb.
Yeah.
And I think that is almost like a bulletproof way to go about it, because if one thing goes down, like, I mean, just in theory, if someone's bookings go down because there's a lot of competition, maybe they put a travel nurse in there, or to your point as well, maybe they could put a long-term tenant in there either way, but mm-hmm. the market was such that Airbnb was working for the time being.
Yeah.
So I like that you mentioned that. I think it's a very practical way to go about it, because you can attack it in different ways.
Yeah, definitely. And so I think those are two things people definitely need to consider and keep in mind when they're looking to have short-term rentals. Everything else is stuff that you can learn, but I think people lose sight of that because they see how much money you potentially can make. It doesn't mean you're going to make it. And so I think that it's important they understand, one, the market they're in, mm-hmm. the location of it, how saturated is that market, and then making sure you have an additional exit strategy. So,
yeah, as far as checking if the market is saturated, do you recommend people, let's say I live in Brooklyn, New York, for example, do you recommend people, let's say I live in Brooklyn, New York, let's just say I live in Bed-Stuy. I'm going to buy a property in Bed-Stuy. And one of the ideas I have is to rent it on Airbnb. Do you recommend just checking out in the general area and surrounding neighborhoods, like what kind of listings are up, like how many are up and things of that nature? Do you recommend just some basic research like that?
Yeah, of course. You definitely need to do the research on the area that you're looking to short-term rental in. Mm-hmm. How many units are already renting? What is their occupancy rate? How much is their average rent for? And there's a lot of tools out there you can use to do that. I'm not going to name them because they're not paying me any money. But there's tools that you can research that will give you all of that basic information about the Airbnbs, and you'll be able to see properties within the proximity of yours, how much they're renting for. You can see their occupancy rate. You can also track crime there. You also, here's one key thing, you need to understand what your ordinances are in that county. There are so many people that have told me like, oh, I want to Airbnb something in College Park. Well, College Park, Georgia. Okay, well, College Park doesn't allow Airbnb. So you need to do your research and find out and make sure that where you're looking to purchase something or Airbnb, they actually allow it. To find out about what the process is to have to register your Airbnb with the city, what the ordinances are, because I know Atlanta has just passed one where now in actually city of Atlanta, you can only Airbnb your primary residence plus one property. And so there's ways around that, but you need to know what those things are. Does it have to be in an LLC? Should I put my property in an LLC? You know, those are all the things that you need to research prior to stepping into this space.
What are your thoughts on cities putting in these regulations, limiting or quite frankly, eliminating Airbnb? What is your opinion on that?
I do not at all think that a city should be telling someone what to do with the property that they purchased and owned. And that's just that on that. You shouldn't be telling somebody what they can do with the property that they actually purchase and pay taxes on. Mm-hmm. Prior to that, they're paying their taxes. You know, you're getting your money. I don't think, and they're not disturbing neighbors and people around them. I don't think you should be regulating what somebody can do with a property that they own.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. And it's like, what's the alternative? Would you prefer, this is like to the city people, would you prefer it to just be a vacant property?
Yes,
dilapidated, that's an eyesore mm-hmm. to the community? Or exactly. Would you prefer for it to be a cheaper option for people to come visit your city and spend money?
Yeah, so, And it's, and they put it on the guise of that, that they care about the community and what the neighbors think. They don't. It's money. Mm-hmm. Hotels line the pockets of cities. We know that. And so it's all, it comes down to the bottom line. And if it didn't, you wouldn't have all these lobbyists lobbying all the time on the behalf of hotels. Now you see a lot of short-term rental lobbyists as well. And how they've kind of combated that is by saying, you know what, this is what we're going to do. We're going to collect hotel tax from all of our guests, and we're going to directly pay these cities. And so by doing that, now the city's like, oh, well, hold up now. We just got a couple $1 million from Airbnb every month. Maybe we don't need to stop them. You know what I mean? Especially cities that don't have a large hotel presence. And so I'm always wondering, it's just crazy because I like cities that don't even have a lot of hotels were trying to regulate Airbnbs. I'm like, you don't even have a dog in this fight. You hardly have any hotels. You should be wanting the money, you know? So I think that's helped. Definitely.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Black Real Estate Dialogue Podcast. Remember to follow us on Instagram at Black Real Estate Dialogue and on Twitter at Bread Podcast. That's B-R-E-D Podcast. Until next time.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.